This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, good morning, Greg. I am doing great. I just want to welcome back Al Dukes to the program. He's finally back after a full year. And Al, welcome back.
Thank you.
How's it feel to be back?
Good. It was actually 383 days.
Wow.
It feels like I was out like a week.
Really? So just to warn the callers out there,
yes,
that things are about to change.
Oh, they are. And in a big way.
Yes, in a very big way.
I'm glad you got your call in now, big boy, because starting tomorrow, the man is back who screens the phone calls. You, sir, will be banished.
It's been 383 days.
Oh, sure. We'll take your 2.5-minute call on the New Jersey Devils. Hang on for the boys, they'll love it.
Of terrible callers.
Yes, you did hear that correctly. Boomer did mention refrigerated morgue trucks. Hang on, we'll flesh it out.
And subpar call screening.
What's that? You're 94 years old? Yet, just hang on. You don't even need to tell me what you're talking about.
But now the man is back, and the party is over.
Yeah, guess what? We don't care about your baseball memories, so get lost, loser. You jerk. You're the worst caller in WFA in history. Middle of the night, loser caller. Goodbye, you punk. Screw all you people.
Al Dukes finally returns to the WFAN studios.
I was at a game in 1969. No one gives two craps.
You people are idiots.
You're going to be dead soon.
Calling me at 6:30. Pay attention to your family, dummy.
Yeah, jackass.
No. I'm going to die here.
That's for you, bitch.
Yes.
Welcome back, Al. And callers, man, I can't wait for this. I really can't wait. I don't want to see an Al meltdown in the first hour or so, but if there is one, that means that no bad callers are getting through ever again. So
how was the commute? Everything good? How about parking?
All good. I found a spot where I always used to park for years,
right?
And years was
okay.
Available, so all good. I didn't see any people. I didn't see any rats. All perfect.
No people and no rats. That's great. And did you wear your headsets in? Do we have this on film? You coming to work today?
They were filming. There was a camera crew here when I arrived. Yeah, it all got filmed.
You are a big deal.
A camera crew.
Yes, he's
or was
a big
it
deal.
Just Ernie Acosta
Ernie with an iPhone?
Right, Ernie Acosta came in with sweatpants and a jet sweatshirt and an iPhone. A camera crew. Yeah. So I mean, this is a big moment. I can't. And some of that's already up on Twitter, right?
I think he showed me going through my weapons that I brought in for my walk from my car to the building, my weaponry.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I had this idea. I'll tell you now because there was no way that I'd be able to hide this from you. But I had a big idea that got screwed up because some people in the digital department got sick. So let's just put it that way.
Okay.
But my big idea was I was gonna prank Al. I was going to have someone dressed up in a hoodie and screaming and careening towards you the first day.
It would have been awesome.
Going, in your face. And then you wouldn't know how to get in the building because it's the first time. So maybe you're going to go for the revolving door. You'd be sitting there. And then you'd get your mace out. I was going to have the whole thing. And Izzo, of course, he couldn't be here for it. So you lucked out there. That all worked out for you because you probably would have been mad at me for months. But I was planning the whole thing out.
Boomer was even going to give the guy lines and everything, what to yell.
Everything. I was actually going to pay the guy.
Yeah. But it didn't end up working out.
What I said is that we wanted to find a real guy.
Well, yeah, that would. But then I thought there was a liability there.
There better
be someone that we trust.
Right, like what if I would have hit him with my police baton across the shins?
It would have been unbelievable. But anyway, so, yeah, a lot has happened in 24 hours. We leave and all hell breaks loose. The Jets trade Sam Darnold to Carolina. I'm happy for Sam. I really am happy for Sam. I think it's a good place to go to. He reunites with Robbie Anderson. And also Joe Brady is their offense coordinator. Remember, he was the offense coordinator for Joe Burrow at LSU. He came from the Saints. He had a lot of success with Joe Burrow. And I bet you, you know, they weren't thinking Sam Darnold at the beginning of all this. But when everything started to flesh itself out, then all of a sudden you see now, okay, this is what we have and this is the opportunities we have. We might as well see if we can get something out of Sam and resuscitate his career, much like I think what Frank Reich is going to try to do with Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. So I am overjoyed for Sam because there's nothing worse than sitting around for 3 months listening to how the Jets want to replace you and then have to answer questions about that. And we all knew that it was eventually going to happen.
Yeah.
Just a matter of when it was going to happen. And the Joe Douglas reconfiguring of this roster now continues. They add 3 draft picks, 2 more to next year's haul, 1 for this year's haul. And I just think that he is doing an amazing job now getting all of these picks and reconstructing this franchise. Now it comes down to making the right picks and believing in the picks that you're going to make. And I do believe that they have fallen in love with Zach Wilson. They are totally cemented and believe that he's their guy. This is what this tells us now, again, and it's just another step in the process of getting to the draft. And, you know, if I'm a Jet fan, there's 2 things that I like. One is the stability now, finally at the top of the organization, and everybody understands what their role is and who's running things. And number 2, I believe behind the scenes there's probably a great collaboration going on between Rob Saleh
you're turning into one of those guys.
I do.
You're turning into a collaboration guy.
Yeah, but here it is. It's a happy place right now.
It is.
Everything's a happy place right now, and it's a new start. It's a fresh start. I know Jet fans want to win now, but I'm telling you that everything that you could have hoped that Joe Douglas could have done under the circumstances in which he was hired, he has done and hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah. Now, I don't think that there are few people on this earth that could say that they're more well-versed in Jets fans than you. I think that there's...
Well, yeah, I have a very intimate knowledge of
you
that,
do. You got the intimate knowledge of the Jets fan. You could write an entire book by yourself in one day on the mentality of a Jets fan. Now, the reason I bring this up is I want to know, from your expert analysis and opinion on the Jet fan, how many Jets fans, when this trade happened, thought, okay, Zach Wilson, great, he's going to be our guy? And how many of them, from a percentage standpoint, said, Matt Rhule was the coach that I wanted. He's now down in Carolina. The Jets screwed that up because they wouldn't let him hire his staff. Sam Darnold was potentially the best quarterback of that draft. The Jets screwed him up. You know what's going to happen. Those 2 guys are going to meet up in Carolina. They're going to be great together. They may even go win a championship. We're going to be sitting here spinning our wheels with some quarterback from BYU who was an out-of-nowhere guy. How many Jet fans were saying that when this trade went down?
I think if the Jet fans in my life that I know are all excited about Rob Saleh. Everybody was jacked about the hiring of the coach. And I think that's the first thing that has to make the fan happy. We got to get the right coach in here, the right personality. He has to reflect who we are as a fan base. And I think you got that guy. I think you got a high-energy guy. You got a guy that's got a great track record. And so I think all Jet fans are really happy about that. I think they're split on the quarterback thing. I think some people probably wanted to keep Sam here and see if it was going to work in Mike LaFleur's offense. And I also believe that some Jet fans don't believe that Sam was very good and couldn't stay on the field. And whether he got hurt or he got sick or he saw ghosts, that they were tired. And, you know, they saw enough games in real time. And I think he played like 36 or 38 games. I think they felt like, you know, it's time to move on. And I understand that this is the first time some team in the in the Super Bowl era or the draft or whatever this is, that a team is going to select a quarterback in the first top three picks 4 years apart.
That's because everybody's just obsessed with it now.
Yeah,
having,
but the point
because
being
of the salary cap situation.
True. So now they're going to reset their salary cap again with the quarterback situation here. I think down in Carolina, they'll probably pick up Sam's fifth-year option, which is good for him. I don't think this is like there's any animosity here. I just think it's more pride that is associated with one person, and that's the quarterback that's being sent to another team.
Yeah, no, I understand. I just wonder, you know, back when the first, second, third, fourth round picks would get an exorbitant amount of money before playing a single game. You know, one of the guys that always pops into my mind is Sam Bradford. You know, the money that Sam Bradford made as a rookie. So, a lot
same
of these
thing
guys.
With, same with Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. He was one of the last ones,
true.
I believe.
Yes.
So would these teams be as cavalier in selecting these quarterbacks?
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't.
That's the thing that scares me because it still means so much to the franchise.
I know, but this is why I felt like one of the smart things that the NFLPA did agree to was a rookie wage scale. So that teams that found themselves like in the Jets situation, you could just keep taking shots at goal at the most important position. And that's what I think this is. You just, and you have another general manager, and Sam wasn't picked by by Joe Douglas. So he was picked by Mike Maccagnan. And most general managers, when they come in and they finally have the control that they need and that they desire, they're going to start putting their stamp on this team. And you know, the other thing too about Joe Douglas, he is a completely low-key guy. He is low-key. He's out of the media. He's not making declarative statements. He's very careful in what he says. And he's an offensive lineman, man.
Yeah.
He's very, I'm telling you.
I love his personality. We both do. The thing that scares me, though, is the number two overall pick, a shot on goal type of situation.
Yeah, but didn't I tell you that?
That has to be an empty netter, man.
If you were a general manager,
yeah,
you couldn't ask for a better situation than Joe Douglas has been in the last 2 years.
I now, know, but that's different than what I'm saying,
it's
though.
Been a pain in the ass. He's had to get there. It's been a pain in the ass to get to this point. But getting to this point and making some of the tough decisions that he has made have really turned out to be a godsend for this franchise and restarting the franchise with a whole new coaching staff and a general manager that's totally in charge.
So you're sold that he's doing the right thing.
I am sold totally that he's doing the right thing, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
But now it comes down to replenishing the players. He's got to get players. And the only way you can do that, and without having to compete on the open market for those players, is by drafting players. And the more draft picks you have, the better chances you have.
Could have had more if you kept Sam and traded back.
That's true, but then he wouldn't have had a quarterback.
Well, he could have. I mean, I
do believe that there was consideration for Deshaun Watson. I do believe that. And there may be even been a little consideration for Russell Wilson. Maybe.
Yeah.
But Russell did want to come here, so that was the other thing.
Right, he wasn't on the list of teams.
But once Deshaun Watson got embroiled in all of this stuff going on down in Houston, which gets uglier and uglier by the day, there was no way that they were going to go that way. So this is. Remember we were talking, I think it was right after the season was over, and we were talking about Joe Douglas and the decisions that he was going to have to make. One, to find a coach, and then when we get to the draft, it was going to be, what are we doing with the number two pick? And what are we doing at quarterback? And there were all these different decisions he had to make. And now we finally have arrived at the final decision for at least the quarterback and the number two pick, that he has decided that he has seen enough of either Zach Wilson or Justin Fields that they are going to be the quarterback of the future. The only thing I worry about is if one of these kids, I don't want one of these kids to have to go through exactly what Sam Darnold had to go through, that they're not mentally ready to handle this yet.
Well, whatever guy gets drafted is starting. We know that.
It feels that way.
Well, it has to be. Like, or the only other scenario would be that this guy bombs out, and we know it's Zach Wilson. Like, what are we even talking about? If Zach Wilson bombs out in the preseason and in training camp, and he's a total zero, and then whatever veteran backup that they bring in, because they're going to have to do that. I don't even know who's available right now in that market, but they're going to have to do that.
Alex Smith could be available.
Would you think about that?
I would.
Would you think about bringing in a veteran and having him start a couple games?
I'm not all about throwing these kids out there. And again, every situation is different. So what happened in L.A. last year, Tyrod Taylor started. He got hurt. Justin Herbert went in there. They saw, oh, my God, he's ready to go, and he looks like he can handle it. Let's play him. No, that wasn't the case.
What week of the year was that?
Was it like week two or week three?
Yeah, it wasn't week one.
Now, remember,
right?
This year they will have preseason games.
Yeah.
Last year they didn't have preseason games. Cincinnati went right with Joe Burrow. But then again, Joe Burrow was, he played at Ohio State or was at Ohio State, then went to LSU. So he was a little bit more mature when he came out and he was ready to go too. You just never know when these kids are ready. That's all. I mean, I believe Patrick Mahomes would have been ready his first year. But they had Alex Smith there. They had success with Alex, and they didn't want to push Patrick Mahomes. And they saw what he was doing in practice every week. They just didn't. They weren't sure whether or not he was going to be able to take it to the field. So I personally think where the Jets are right now, starting over at baseline, you have the coach that you want, and now you have one of the quarterbacks that you're going to want, and you're going to have 100 other picks.
And the quarterback has swag, Boomer. He's got swag.
I hope he does it. I hope
self-proclaimed swag.
You know what I really hope? I hope that he has determination that he wants to be an NFL quarterback and understands that swag doesn't just win on the football field. You got to really apply yourself to the position.
All right.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Jerry Recco is one of those guys, and he is here with an update with a lot of stuff happening. Baseball we didn't get to yet. We're excited to hear about. Good morning, Jerry. What's going on?
Good morning. Yeah, I'll do the baseball in a second, but remember last week or 2 weeks ago you did the wing eating?
Yes.
And we were and Mark had all those concerns about you can't choke on the wings and legal and blah blah. I don't know if you saw this story. I think it was in the Post, I'm pretty sure, but there was a minor league ballpark that had one of these types of promotions. It was a taco eating contest, and a guy choked and died.
Come on, really?
No, I'm serious. Like I, because you never think this happens, and it does. My point is, Mark was justified.
We're going to be getting text messages from him.
See, I told you.
I'm just saying.
You made fun of me, but you could have died on the air. Imagine that, welcoming in Odyssey, and then now we have a dead employee with a brand new company name.
You could have choked on a bone.
What do you think that would have done to the stock price? You proud of yourself that you're dead?
I would even get, if Mark were here and I choked and died, he would have given me a talking to, my corpse a talking to. He would have.
Are you happy now? You see what you did? Unbelievable. Look at you. It's pathetic. You choked on a buffalo wing, and now you're dead. Ugh, get him out of here.
I can't believe that somebody died at one of these games.
Yeah.
You figured that there would be an EMT there or somebody else to make sure that this didn't happen.
Yes, it did
happen. We had an EMT here.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you started off the morning like that, Jerry.
Well, here's the thing, though. Can only go up from here.
So that was by design, huh?
Yeah, well, perhaps.
Now the 0-1.
Jerry's trying to take
swung
the
on and hit in the air to left. That ball is high. It is far.
What are you doing? What are you saying?
What?
What were you saying?
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you were. I can rewind the tape. What were you saying?
No, I just said you're just trying to take the show down now that you're not a host.
No, I was actually quite happy coming in to do this today.
Oh, you were?
Keep it, my man.
Now the 0-1. Swung on and hit in the air to left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. A Judgian blast to deep left field. A three-run blast by Judge. All rise. There comes the Judge.
And that, of course, John Sterling with the call on the Fan. Judge was 3 for 5. That home run, he drove in 4. And the Yankees, as they always do, just destroyed the Orioles again. 7-2 the final. Yankees go to 3-2. Jay Bruce, not exactly on fire, but he did hit a home run as well. And Garrett Cole, 7 innings, 4 hit ball, 13 strikeouts. Here's Aaron Boone. Now, this looks like Judge.
It's definitely good to see him, stringing together some good at-bats.
Yep, him and Stanton combined for 5 hits. Here was Judge on Garrett Cole, who was superb. 7 innings, 4 hit ball.
It was fun to watch him, pitch that duel when it's a 1-0 game, 2-1 game. But I think it's even – I have a little bit more fun watching him when he's got a little bit of a lead and can kind of, empty out the tank.
It wasn't even fair for these Oriole hitters for the
most
part.
Who caught last night, Jerry?
Who what? Oh, I know. Higashioka.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that out there.
And as we all know, that was Garrett Cole's best outing as a Yankee. I mean, that was a dominating outing. But again, it's the Orioles. I mean, come on.
I understand. Right. But still, is this now – so it took one Gary Sanchez, Garrett Cole – reunion to blow the whole thing up? Are we going to see him pitch to him the rest of the year?
We have to wait for Corton and Roberts to have Aaron Boone on to talk about that.
Okay. Yes, I will look forward to
that. Because they have all the guests.
They do. They do have all the guests.
They do.
And we'll see if Aaron Boone gets his Craig impersonation a little bit better than last
time. I actually asked Craig about that. He was doing Russo.
He was doing Russo. I don't understand.
Yeah.
When does Russo say, yeah, buddy, by the way?
I don't know, but that's what I was told.
All right. Interesting.
I don't know. Here's Cole. He was happy the way the fastball came out of his hand.
It definitely improved. Started off with, I think, a ball in the grass in the first inning, so that's not ideal, but.
Yeah, it wasn't, but he certainly pitched well. Yankees also acquiring the slugger, Rougned Odor, from the Rangers for a couple of prospects tonight.
Well, hopefully they traded Sanchez for him.
I why not take a chance on Rougned or Odor?
Rougned.
Why not? It doesn't cost them anything. A couple of prospects. That's it.
Yeah,
they're not paying the salary. The Rangers are paying the salary in full.
Are they?
Yes.
Yeah. They have to. Yeah.
I guess so.
I mean, they're either going to release them and get nothing, or at least get something and still pay for him. And if you're Brian Cashman, maybe he puts on the Yankee uniform and all of a sudden, lights it up.
You never know.
Where is he going to play?
Don't know.
I mean, you could think about, like, if you wanted to put, while Voit is out, LeMahieu at first and Odor at second. That's an option.
So you'd have an Odor at second.
Oh, here we go. No.
Jamison Tyon facing John Means tonight. Coverage on Sports Radio 66.
What do you think the John Sterling Odor home run call is going to be?
I don't know.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I was thinking about this morning. I couldn't think of a rhyme at all that made any sense. Do not call us with this.
I'm sorry, Al.
Too late.
I'm sorry.
Just tweet us. Do not call with the Rougned Odor home run call for John Sterling.
I think you got to probably rhyme with Rugi, right?
Rugi?
Yeah, something like that. No.
I don't know.
Because Odor, it's just a weird, way you pronounce it, it's a weird.
Out the Odor?
Maybe. I'm sure John's working on it already, though.
And he walked right through the Odor. No.
I don't care for that.
It is high. It is far. It is out the Odor.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's been worse.
Not great.
I don't know. Think about it, though. We'll see if we can see
Rugi.
Where
he...
Meantime, the...
I don't know. I can't think of one.
Nothing to do. I know. It's tough. Sorry, Jimmy.
Now, two nights prior to today, the Met fan wanted Dominic Smith in the lineup. He wasn't. He was last night.
By the way, we wanted him as a pinch hitter, and Luis Rojas screwed that up. And that's
if it's high in the air to not a last night. Center Joyce is back. He's watching it fly. It's gone. A home run to the opposite field. Dominic Smith with a dom bomb. It's the first Mets home run of 2021.
Like,
and it gives the Mets a 2-0 lead.
A dom bomb. Which is a lot better than the atom bomb that Harry Truman dropped 3 days ago.
Yes. So the home run gave them.
Welcome the boys back. What an exciting time for America. A dom bomb. Yeah, I don't know. Do anybody like dom bomb?
No, because that's not what he does.
Yeah, he's not that guy. He's
no,
just
that's...
old school radio guy who sort of nails it every time.
Yes.
He's not cutesy.
But I kind of like Dom Bomb.
Do you?
I like it. Yeah. Sure I do.
Okay.
I guess. That's more like John Sterling.
But I want to go back to game one, though. Luis Rojas not using him as a pinch hitter for Pilar in a situation where he should have, and it was obvious to all of us, is inexcusable. Inexcusable.
There were a lot of problems with that game, and that is certainly one of them. I agree.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I worry about that part of it. That's why I asked Keith Hernandez about what he expected, and, you know, he didn't really have an answer in regards to Luis Rojas. But, man, I'm telling you.
Keith was like, well, I remember when Casey Stengel used to manage guys, and, you know, I remember me and Gaylord Perry used to talk about this all the time.
Jerry, you watched the game that night. Was it not,
I did.
Was it not an obvious move?
That was one.
That was one big one.
The fact that Kevin Pillar was leading off in that game, I didn't understand either. And then when you have him up and you're changing pitchers, why he's hitting in that spot, I don't know. Why DeGrom comes out of the game, I don't know. I mean, there was so much wrong with that game.
What was the up-down thing?
That's their.
He got up and down six times.
Right, he was up and down,
which makes no sense.
Without coming in the game, so Mickey Callaway used to call that the dry hump. Luis Rojas called it the up down.
But wasn't the dry hump for the bullpen?
It was. Well, so you get a guy up, and then he doesn't come in. Then he's down. Right. Then he's up and he's down.
Sure.
So this is the same thing.
This is a starting pitcher, though. It honestly made no sense.
I guess you're right.
When they're down, they're actually sitting and resting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they're up.
They're up. They're throwing.
They're throwing.
They're throwing.
So this is what we're calling an up-down now?
Right. So now it's not about – it's bad enough that it's pitch count. I can't stand that. Now we've kind of accepted it. Now we're talking about up-downs and dry humps.
Well,
I mean, really.
Well, the good news is that Stroman threw, about 85 pitches last night, pitched well. So he backed up DeGrom very well. And then, of course, you had Cole last night who threw about 95 pitches.
Right. And the Mets win, by the way, 8-4. Michael Conforto, an RBI double, and Pete Alonso did homer late in the game as well. Mets had a 4-run seventh that broke it open. Let's go with Stroman, because we were talking about the whole Cole dynamic with his catcher. Here was Stroman with his new catcher, James McCann.
McCann was awesome. He had a great mix back there. I have the utmost confidence in McCann. Anything he throws down, I truly feel like I can execute. So,
how about that? Whatever throw it down, we're going to execute. Not bad. First win of the season for the Mets. First win for their new owner. And so Luis Rojas with the gesture of saving the ball.
This is the baseball from the last out of the game, cut by Alvaro Almora in center. I just want to say congratulations to our owner, Steve Cohen.
And he's going to get the ball when they return home to play. Yes, I thought the same thing.
Yeah, he was mad at me because I didn't use Dom Smith in game one. So we're going to baseball now. Hopefully he'll forget about that little mistake.
David Peterson and Aaron Nola today. It's a 4:05 first pitch from Philadelphia. Also of note, the White Sox beat the Mariners 10-4. Former Yankee James Paxton left this game in the second inning with forearm soreness. That's never a good sounding thing, right? That's usually not good.
Steven Matz had a good game yesterday for the Blue Jays.
Was it? Yes. Did he pitch well yesterday? I know he pitched well the other day.
Oh, the other day. I'm sorry. And I'm all screwed up.
He's just pitching every day now. Yeah, Toronto. Yeah. It's crazy.
No, he actually pitched for Toronto.
Every single
day. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Clayton Kershaw pitched well, 7 innings for the win. The Dodgers beat the A's 5-1. Anything else notable here? Nah, we can move on. Here's Joe Douglas talking about the trade of Sam Darnold to the Panthers. He loves the kid.
Sam's a first-class human being and a pro's pro. And, you know, I really respect Sam.
Now, why didn't it work here, though, for Sam? And he really didn't answer the question.
Look, I mean, there's a lot of things go into why this didn't work out. And ultimately, we have to look forward.
Ah, but lucky for us, we have someone that does have an opinion why it didn't work. Here's a nice solid 17 seconds from Robbie Anderson, his former teammate who's now on the Panthers. He was on NFL Network telling us why it didn't work for Sam.
You know, me personally speaking, I just think Sam kind of his development was not correct, you know, with the Jets. I think he didn't have the best support cast around him and the best coaching to get him to his full potential.
He's right.
There you go.
Yeah. He's right.
Yeah. Telling it like it is.
We've all said that, haven't we?
Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they'll be reunited.
They will, and it will feel so good. The first woman to accuse Deshaun Watson of sexual assault has put her name on it, and she came out and made a statement. Ashley Solis, she said she came forward so that Watson does not assault another woman. She said in her statement that since the alleged assault, she suffers from panic attacks, anxiety, depression, and is no longer comfortable working as a massage therapist as this continues to go on and on and on. And I know the NFL continues to look at it, and I saw the one quote is how deeply disturbing the allegations are as they continue to investigate. NBA tonight, the Nets take on the Pelicans. Kevin Durant expected to play. James Harden's not. He's going to miss about 10 days or so after he did try to go the other night.
I know.
4.5 minutes and had to come out aggravating the hamstring.
Just amazing.
Injury.
It's one hamstring to another hamstring.
It's
like they're passing around a hamstring torch.
It's that's one injury that really worries you about.
Hey, when did the playoffs start?
We have another month and a half or so, would
you
say?
They'll all be healthy by then, so it doesn't matter.
Probably.
I mean, obviously, this doesn't – James Harden wants to play basketball.
Yes.
I don't ever question that. But, you know, these guys are bored, man. They want these games to mean something.
Well, I think
matter.
That they want to play together because they barely have, and they want to have that time out on the court to develop chemistry. I think that's important to them. And they're being denied that again.
LaMarcus Aldridge is becoming a man now. He's only been here a week.
So the play-in tournament starts May 18th.
Right now the Knicks are tied for 7-8 with Boston, I believe, at 25-26. Right? They're a half game in the
loss. Right, and they got to play Boston now.
Right, that's tonight, as a matter of fact.
Right, so, and yes. What's amazing to me is so they have it. I turned the game on the other night, and the Knicks had a 13-point lead.
Yes.
And before I knew it, it was down to 4. And then before I knew it, they were down 4. And then, you know, obviously they come down, and they have to give the ball to Julius Randle because he's the best player on the team, and he has to take the final shot in the NBA. That's what happens.
Got a good look, too.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, he's an all-star.
Yeah.
But he threw up a brick.
He did. It happens.
I know, but, like, he's got to hit that shot, man. He's just got to hit the shot.
How many times have you seen that with the Knicks, though, this year? With opportunities against good teams at the end of games that they
just
don't get done.
He's got to hit the shot, man. That's all there is to it. Like, I want him to stay here. He's been great. He's a great story.
Now you
want to
get rid of him?
No, I don't. I'm not saying that, but it just goes to show you that, you know, it's they just don't have that guy. They don't have that person that's going to do that. At least right now they don't.
Did you enjoy the Piston game over the weekend?
Yeah, but that was Pistons are that brutal.
But that was ridiculous.
They were brutal.
I mean, the Knicks never do that or haven't done that in a very long time, blow out a team like that.
Weren't they up 24-3 in that game?
Yes.
You know what's amazing? The Rangers, who won last night 8-4, you know, beat the Islander, beat the Flyers 9-0, beat them 8-3, I think. I'm like, the Rangers have no problem scoring a lot of goals. It's crazy.
Rangers 1-for-1 on the power play. Panarin got the goal. Here he is. All the way across. Strom shoots. He scores! Ryan Strom! It's a power play goal! And it's 4-1 Rangers!
The horn actually drowning out Sam Rosen on MSG. It was so loud. 8-4, they wind up beating the Penguins last night. You heard him mention Panarin's name. A goal and 3 assists. That was a power play goal for Ryan Strome. Capo Caco with a power play goal as well. Rangers have won, I think it's 3-0-1 now in their last 4 games as they have moved a few games over 500. Played well as well. And the Islanders continue to win. They beat the Capitals 1-0. Brock Nelson scores the game's only goal. Semyon Varlamov with 29 saves.
Now, that game was like a playoff game, and it went into overtime, and nothing. These two teams are killing each other, and they are now tied for first place.
They are tied for first place, and the Devils lost to the Sabres 5-3. Casey Mittelstadt snapped a 3-3 tie midway through the third.
You could have totally made up that name, and I would have bought it.
I might have.
Casey Mittelstadt?
Yeah.
I've never heard of him.
I don't know Mittelstadt.
He's a very good player for the Sabres.
They have good players.
They do have good players. Okay. And Jack Eichel's been out for a while. He's been injured. And Kyle Palmieri will be traded shortly.
Yep, we know. I know.
Let's question him. So will Terrell Hall from the Sabres. He'll be traded shortly as well.
All right, very good.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
But the stuff that I've seen from him, he is not trying too hard. He's trying to keep that demeanor. I mean, he looks great in the suit and the hair and the whole thing as a TV host, but he really wants to do this full time?
Yes, he does. He definitely does.
I mean, come on!
He basically said, I think he spent 187 days playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, and I believe it's either 45 or 46 days is the amount of days that would be required to tape Jeopardy. Now, I watched his first show from start to finish, and I thought he was awesome. I thought he was
awesome.
But you
went in wanting to love him.
I love the guy anyway.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I love the way he plays football. There's no question about that. But what makes him so unique is his awkwardness, you know, and his own brilliance. That's why, I'm kind of attracted to his personality and the way that he carries himself. And, you know, every now and then he goes off, and it's pretty funny. But watching him and knowing the amount of work that he put into trying to be as deferential and respectful to the memory of Alex Trebek while still being Aaron Rodgers, I thought his voice sounded great. I thought the tone in which he was asking the questions was great. And this is the first time out, remind you. This is the first time he's doing this. And then the way that he responded to the questions and how he kept the game moving. And I didn't watch last time because of all the sports going on last night, but he had a kid there that I went to Cal Berkeley. So that was a nice little connection. And that kid was just answering questions, firing away, bang. And he just kept the whole thing going. It was like a two minute drill. So it was really good. I think he's very good at it. And if there was a person that could handle both, I would say it would be him. I just wonder.
Would you want your quarterback hosting Jeopardy during the season?
You know what? Look at him. I mean, he looks great. We're looking
I understand
at the replays
he looks
on,
great. I'm asking Sports you, Network. Would you want your starting quarterback also hosting Jeopardy?
You know, he's 38 years old. I don't care. You know, if he's 24 and he's Zach Wilson, no. But if he's Aaron Rodgers and he's smart enough to handle it and he's got the poise and he's got the tone of it down and the way that he has the timing of it down, I'd say, yeah, man, go for it.
I just think that's something that I understand they need to make a decision on a full-time host soon. Just something during your playing career, especially he's got a couple more years.
I got to tell you.
Why would you get distracted? It's either one or the other.
Now, if he goes all in for this, I mean, this is basically going to be his career moving forward, and he'll make another $25 million, if not more, because I have to believe that there were more people watching. I can't wait to see what the ratings look like with him as the host. He's got a little bit of personality where, you know, people will make fun of him. And as he goes along here over the next 2 weeks, he's only going to be better.
Yeah, I would think, for sure. Because every show, you get a little more experience, you get some notes, and it's just going to, that's the way it's going to happen. So it's 2 full weeks he's getting, huh?
Yes.
All right.
10 shows.
Yeah. I know. I
just look at him and I laugh.
I know. But there's something about this.
In admiration. I'm not laughing at him because I think he's – I'm admiring the fact that he can do it the way he's doing it.
There's something about this with you, though, that is hitting home with the quarterback, the famous quarterback that's doing something like this. There's something about this that you love.
I love the fact that an NFL football player, and there are a lot of smart NFL football players, don't get me wrong,
yeah,
can get up there and do that show seamlessly because he was a fan of the show. It wasn't like they just plucked him out of somewhere and said, hey, go do this. I mean, he was a legitimate fan, as I am, of that show, as everybody that I know around me is. And I'm thinking that he's getting rave reviews. At least I'm giving him rave reviews.
Yeah, I haven't seen many of the reviews. I haven't seen any bad ones. But it's really just that video that's everywhere.
But just to see that first question, you know, or the final Jeopardy question where that guy didn't know the answer and he said who kicked the field goal or who wanted to kick the field goal in the fourth quarter. I mean, that in itself is funny.
It's great. Yeah, great. Of course it is. Sports Minute?
Yep.
I knew it. Let's go to Mike in Hicksville. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good morning, boys.
Hey, what's up,
hey,
man?
Mike, what's happening?
Sorry, boys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a hypothetical for you, okay? Let's say that the Jets had the sixth-round pick this year instead of the third-round pick.
Wait, a sixth-round pick instead of the third? What? His phone was terrible. Al?
Good job, Al. First guy out of the gate. Awesome. Eddie would never allow this to happen.
That guy is the worst.
Right. And you let him through.
I'm a dope.
I thought he was going to be all right. I'm rusty.
I mean,
we did let him sit there for a while.
Yeah, but Eddie would never allow that.
Probably
to
not.
Eddie would have had a full-on discussion with the guy on. Really, truly understand who it was.
All right, 0 for 1.
Okay.
Knocking the rust off.
This one's not going to be much better.
Jim in Brooklyn. Hello, Jim.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
All right, Jim, what's happening?
Oh, good day. I'd like to talk about Zach Wilson. I'm a longtime Jet fan.
Yep.
And I saw something on him where he has, like, attention deficit, right?
So what do you mean you saw something on him? What do you mean? Where'd you see it?
On YouTube. And it was going through his whole thing where he has that, and he had training with schooling with that. And one thing about attention deficit is that they can hyper-focus. And I think that's very important when it comes to the Jets, and it's going to be an attribute. He might not be able to, write a check or pay his little things.
That's
like that.
Why you're telling me he has ADD, and you're telling me in the same breath that he can hyper-focus with ADD.
Yes, on certain things. Football, he's super into football. This guy's gonna be able to take constructive and critical
criticism
input by the coaches.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's gonna be able to be just fall down and get right back up and move on.
Do you know anybody in your life who has ADD?
Me.
Oh, you do. Okay, so you have. So what? Tell me what you are good at with your condition.
I was a voice major in college.
Okay.
And I got that happened to me. I was doing a song. I got ripped apart by the teacher, and went back into the song again, did it, and he goes, "I can't believe everything I criticized you on. You got correct." So it's like that. So he's going to be able to take criticism very well.
Right.
And focus.
Yeah, so I'm reading something here, Jim. It says he has ADHD. I know that's the hyperactive disorder as opposed to just attention deficit. Is that also what you have, is the ADHD?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm reading about it now. It's something I had not seen yet.
And I know. They haven't really talked about this, but with good coaching, he's going to be such an attribute. I've been a fan of the Jets for a long time. Like this year, the first season, the first game, by halftime, I'm looking for him to fire the coach. You know what I'm saying? I think we got a lot, with things going on right now, we need hope.
Don't you feel like you're heading into a new direction, that you're stable as a franchise, and now draft day is really going to mean something to you guys? I mean, every year it does, but more with all these picks, and especially with the second pick overall.
100%. 100%.
I'd be excited if I were Jeff. And thanks, Jim, for sharing that with us. There have been quarterbacks that have been out there that, when they get on the field, they become like savants on the football field that may have that same issue that Zach Wilson has. And I guess it's written, it's publicly.
Yeah, so I'll just read quickly here. This is from Sports Illustrated. It says he has struggled with focusing on academics due to ADHD, which is something that runs in his family. He does take medication. He grew up a Utah Utes fan, went to their football camps as a boy.
So the medication is most likely Adderall.
Yeah, I would think. I know that's been associated with it before. He says laser focused on football, spends a lot of time learning his position. His father kept him busy as a child with sports and work.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know, positive, negative. People with ADHD and ADD, they would know whether it is or it isn't. But I know of players that I both played with and played against that do have this condition, and that last caller is exactly right. And I don't want to use any names, but I can tell you of one Hall of Famer that was amazing to watch, and I he suffered from that.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's something I hadn't read about. I didn't realize.
And the maniac that I used to work with in the morning, Spank. Spank was all over the place. I mean, he had like five different conditions. And it was like, a ping pong ball bouncing off the wall.
For sure.
It was like lottery balls.
For sure. So, yeah, it's interesting. So I'm reading more about it in this particular article. It says, Wilson, who always had suspected he might have ADHD, submitted himself to a test for the disorder, tested positive. He is on medication. Says there are many famous, highly successful people who have been diagnosed with ADHD. Walt Disney, Albert Einstein.
Yeah, it goes on.
Michael Jordan.
And the Adderall helps them focus. Yeah, that's why that Legion of Boom was snorting the Adderall back in the day for Seattle.
Yeah, but
that's why
not...
it's a banned substance from the NFL, right. Unless, of course, you have a prescription for it, and then you're allowed to take it.
Well, Adderall's a big college studying drug.
Well,
that's the thing.
And why?
Because you stay up and you hyper-focus.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
That's the whole situation. Yeah, and it gives a sort of a energy where you're not dozing off. All right, let's go to a break quickly and get
that
sports
Jerry
minute.
Keeps talking about wanting to use it. I'm like,
oh, man. Adderall, yeah. Yes. Well, here's the reason why. You know the backstory of that, because Jerry and I were on that whole thing at the same time. So there was a documentary on Adderall on Netflix. So Jerry and I both watched it. We were interested in it. And I thought it was going to be like the ups and downs of it, like here's why people take it, this is why it's an issue. Whatever. The whole documentary was on how great it was. I was shocked. There was like nothing on it that was like, well, you got to really be careful because of this. It was like little things here or there. So that's where we got that from. Was like it sounded like the most magical pill on the face of the earth, according to this documentary.
You know, and again, you know, prescription pill. And that's why guys were using it in the NFL and got in trouble using
sure.
it.
Sure, yeah.
You know, Richard Sherman and that whole group were doing it.
Yeah.
And so the abuse of the drug, I'm not in favor of at
sure.
all.
Well, I'm not in favor of any drugs.
But
yeah.
if there is obviously a diagnosis where the drug can help, and in this case, maybe even give a player an edge, which it does, obviously, it's
performance enhancing.
It is, but it's also life altering, you know, and it also is helping people that have problems focusing.
Yeah, it's interesting. So
it's
like,
a weird.
So for Zach Wilson, he'll be allowed to take it if he is on it because he's diagnosed.
I'm telling you, that's the medication he's on.
Yeah. So
I would think.
But for someone who's not diagnosed and is taking it, all of a sudden it's performance enhancing. That's a fine line. It's an interesting one. Didn't think I'd be talking about that today. Got to do some more research on that.
Right.
But I guess if you are not prescribed it and you've not been diagnosed with ADHD and you play in the NFL.
Or you go to college and you take a couple tests.
Yeah. Well, that you're not getting tested for it, though.
Right, you know, of course, like, but I'm saying, but this is why they use it, and this is obviously, you know, the underbelly of society,
the dark underbelly of society. Underbelly, yes. All right,
it's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.